Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Congratulations. On behalf of the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, you are now a member of the Jedi Alliance. May the Force be with you. Always.
Hey there, Jedi Alliance. It is another episode that we're bringing you live. So thank you so much if you're streaming in right now. My name is Maud Garrett, a.k.a. Modawan, and I also have Master Kenobi, Kem Natsuk.
Hello.
And we're going to be addressing all things print, written in comic book form or in books this particular episode. And we've got a lovely guest on the panel as well. Her name is Madeline Rowan. She's an author. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So you're a big Star Wars fan.
I am. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. Always. From a very tiny, tiny age.
So we are going to be asking you the top five questions. We're also going to be putting it to you. What questions do you want to ask as well? We've opened up the Facebook page. Search Jedi Alliance on that one. And you can join in the discussions there and get your question on the show.
You're doing great for the kind of weekend we both had. This
show. I couldn't even do that. I was like.
And you as well, Maddie, because we all have had. This is kind of a crash landing episode.
Mm.
We are celebrating Star Wars. Coming in hot and hard,
yeah.
landing fast. Join the conversation at Jedi Alliance SK.
I can't shake him.
I don't. I'm not doing my Emperor voice. I just sound like this today. that's what six or more whiskeys will do to your voice. But we're having a great conversation today. It's upcoming about the Star Wars comic book.
Yeah,
you've got it right there.
Yes.
You took it in this morning.
I did.
I was first in line at my local comic shop, Earth 2 in Northridge. And I did not. Oh, and I even texted you, Muddy, and thank you for your advice. I didn't follow. I was going to whip out the credit card and buy every variant cover available, which would have been
gosh.
A $300 bill.
Yeah, and I said all of the covers and credit card bills.
Yeah. Yep. And I said, I don't think I'm going to do it. And you wrote back, I am the wrong person to be asking, for I would buy them all.
All of them. So we're going to be reviewing the very first issue of the new Marvel Star Wars series and chat about what's slated for 2015 in terms of Star Wars comics and books, which will be really cool. But to kick things off, Madeline, let's do your top five Star Wars questions.
Okay.
You ready for this one?
I'm ready.
I really want to throw in a boomerang. Oh, because I'm Australian, I can say that. But a boomerang question, which is about your new tattoo. We will get to that one.
Yeah.
Okay. But the number one question we ask everyone is, when was your first time, the first time you watched Star Wars?
I was so young, I can't remember. I had two older brothers who were, like, right in the hot zone for when it came out. And so, of course, me being the youngest, anything they were into, I had to be into. Mm-hmm. They were the coolest. And so, I was probably like 3 or 4,
right.
And then we had this really harsh system because we had like all the original figurines and stuff. And we had this really like, they were cold blooded about it because they were older and they like knew they could trick me. So they were like, okay, Maddie, like you can choose one of the figurines, but then, you know, we'll do the rest. Do you want me to have it on?
Well, just, it's creating a little feedback.
Okay.
There we
so,
go.
Yeah,
what was the one toy that you chose?
I chose Vader, of course. Oh. I was like, I'm going for the money shot, you know? And I love that little guy to, like, literal pieces because, you know, the lightsaber came in and out.
Yeah.
And that broke off, of course. And then he had a cloth cape, and that fell off. Mm-hmm. And so I would take Elmer's glue and, like, cut out little black construction paper capes for him to, like, put back on.
So this whole thing's just been butchered.
Yeah.
Are all the toys like that now?
No, actually, they're in pretty good condition. I know we have, like, Jabba's little sliding, like, the original palace.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have all the with the walkers. We have, yeah, I mean, they're all the original ones. My dad, like, bless his heart, would, like, you know, he kept them away from, like, the niece and nephew now. He's like, when you're older and you understand, like, what this is about, you can touch them. But, I pretty much trashed that Vader one, sadly. But, yeah, so it's been a lifelong love affair.
Favorite movie?
Oh, that's really tough. I actually really love... No, I can't. It's like, I can't, I don't know. That's like favorite limb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I actually... Yeah, I can't. I don't know.
You can't, you won't, you can't?
Pass.
You can't,
hard
you
pass.
Won't? I respect that.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to offend Richard Marquand, Irving Kirshner, any of the different directors.
No.
I understand.
I
respect that.
Honestly, there's such good things about all of them that I just find it very hard to...
Including the prequels?
I really love the costume work.
Hey, that's a plus. We spent an hour and a half last week with Joseph Scrimshaw defending the prequels. Popular episode, which proves there's a lot of prequel love out there.
It certainly is.
So is Vader your favorite character? You're going to go with him if that was your choice?
No, Leia is definitely my favorite.
Cool.
She's my favorite.
Is this the first time we've had Leia as a character?
I think since Jenna Bush came on, who, of course, is the creator of Legion of Leia.
So that's that's 20 episodes.
Yeah. So that's great.
Yeah.
She's my favorite. So, I think, 'cause she's such a good role model. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I feel like she's a really strong character. And kind of in a sea of dudes in that movie, you know, and she really does stand out as being a strong leader and really capable. So
She's, again, we talked about before, she is the Rebel Alliance and New Hope. As a kid growing up, I just thought it was all of hers. I didn't understand that there was all these generals and who's this squid guy later on, because I thought, well, she runs it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're absolutely right. And you're right, totally lost in a sea of guys. And I know in episode 7 they're looking to correct that with more balance in the characters. But back then she was holding the torch.
She was holding it down. Yeah. Yeah, it was like her and Mon Mothma. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Right.
And at the same time, you had this, you know, Han Solo coming in as a scoundrel, and he was kind of like the traditional bad boy, and she held her own.
Yeah.
She wasn't, you know, blindsided
by
that.
She didn't take it.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, if you're thrust into the dating world and you play the Leia card, I think you're going to do very well in life. Just so. The other question that we ask everyone is, have you got a quote from the movie that you find yourself using in day-to-day conversation?
Yes. It's the, it's when Han Solo is, masquerading as a stormtrooper, and it says, like, everything's fine here, how are you? Like, that's kind of my, oh crap, everything's gone to hell in a handbasket, like, response. I even do it to myself. You know?
Yeah.
Like, in my apartment, if I drop something, it's just like,
oh, how are you?
Or on the phone, if someone calls and I'm having a bad day, I'm like, everything's fine here. How are you?
Yeah, where are you? Supposed to be here 10 minutes ago. I'm fine.
Boring conversation anyways.
Yeah, boring conversation anyways.
Throw your phone away.
Exactly. Yeah, that's one that gets used quite a lot.
Yeah. Now, you, if you had a force power, what would you choose as your force power of choice?
Ooh, that's a really good question.
Yeah. Listen to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Is that your question? I said my mind goes immediately to the video games because I'm a big Old Republic. Yeah, I'm subscribed to the MMO. I play it all the time.
Get out. You do?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Can you guys team up somehow?
Like, I was there ground level, yeah. I was there when, like, the companions had, like, specialized classes. I mean, like, it's all so different. But, yeah, I would say...
Are they still charging for Old Republic?
No, it's free to play.
It is, yeah.
You can, like, I pay and subscribe so you get, like, benefits. And,
okay.
So, and I like to support the game because I think it's good. But I would have to say Force Leap is, like, the coolest thing ever.
I don't think we've had Force Leap in 22 previous episodes.
Someone was going to say the Force Jump.
Jump.
But I guess it's the kind of, yeah.
Force,
kind of
force jump.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, they call it Force Leap in the game, but I'm sure it has, like, many different names.
Or Force so Double Jump.
Yeah.
That's to get around for convenience sake?
I just think it would be a really good party trick.
Yeah.
Like, you're across the room, and you're like, I really need some ice for this drink, and you're like... You wait a second, you know.
Because usually we get people saying that they want the kind of telepathy, you know,
levitation. Like that's very cool.
Yeah,
and that's for purely lazy purposes. But this is just like a watch me do this really cool thing.
Yeah, or like I want to get up the stairs. I have too many groceries. I could just
leap.
Just leap.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's very practical. I love that everyone uses these Jedi forces, the Jedi force powers for. Very practical home stuff.
Right. No, mine was purely for manipulative purposes. Mine was a Jedi mind trick.
Is that frowned upon, though? Like, aren't you not supposed to use the Force for frivolous, like, oh, that's across the room.
I would imagine
like,
so.
I need my soda. Like, I'm pretty sure that's... I'm not on the dark side of no rules, but I feel like, yeah, the Jedi Academy, they'd probably frown upon, like...
There's probably a course.
Right.
Like, Jedi misuse of Force powers 101.
Yeah.
Don't use them in a
force
restaurant
power
or a diner.
Ethics 101.
Exactly.
Like, what if you need the answers for, you know, the test, and you're just like...
You will tell me.
Yeah, like,
you will grade my paper well. That's
exactly.
How I would use it.
So
but
if,
then...
If you're willing
you
to...
probably shouldn't be at the Jedi Academy.
Yeah, if you're not. So Matt, if you're okay in using Force powers in that bad way, does that mean you would ever turn to the dark side of the Force?
Oh, I'm pretty sure I would be... I'm pretty sure I'd be it, yeah. I'm really not bad at impulse control. I'm like, oh, I want a pizza right now. I'm going to get a pizza. There's like no...
You shouldn't do that. Listen to your feelings. It's like, no, I'm going to... Yeah,
no.
I'm going to get into the passion.
Yeah.
It's the passion aspect, I think. I mean, it's a lot. That's a very surface thing to say. I feel like everybody's like, oh, because I'm...
No one here has gone, I'm going to be a Jedi forever because I'm the best person in the world. No, it's too many temptations.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just such a, it's a very monk-like existence.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I really enjoy I just love, writing and doing all, and I just feel like that would be, they wouldn't be cool with that.
Well, I've noticed in Rebels as well, especially now that Kanan's teaching Ezra all about the Force and, becoming a Jedi, since he's a Padawan Master kind of deal happening, and everything was so over-analytical. Why did you do that? Why do you feel that was necessary?
Thank you.
and it was that kind of thing where it's just like, it's do or do not, there is no try, but it's like, I kind of feel like the whole thing is you have to try so hard.
Yeah.
He just did it and it wasn't good enough. So it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, contradiction.
He doesn't seem like a great Jedi candidate, honestly. I mean, he's very willful. He's very stubborn. So I'm curious. I'm sure that'll
By revenge.
Be part of it. Yeah. Mm. I think that'll be an interesting part of his arc.
Might tie into episode 7 rumor stuff. Ooh. We're getting there. Who knows? We love good conspiracy theories here.
Well, they are the top 5 questions. If you haven't answered yours, jump on our Facebook page and post it or write it in the comment section in the YouTube video too, because we love hearing them. And we even get some in the inbox.
Yeah.
Just by someone's like, my favorite quote is, don't get cocky, kid. And I was like, that's not the actual line of the movie. And I realized that I always say, don't get cocky, kid.
Yeah.
And that's not the actual quote.
That happens a lot.
Guilty. So guilty with that. And the worst part's everyone's like, hey, Star Wars.
Yeah. Luke, I'm your father, as we know, is not the exact quote.
Yeah.
I was just watching Casablanca with Alicia Malone for our Alicia Malone's Film School podcast. Yeah. And Casablanca is one of the most misquoted movies.
What was that one again?
Well, Played Again, Sam was never said in the movie, that's probably one of the more famous movie quotes around. So
many misquotes.
Don't get cocky. Luke, I'm your father. Luke, I'm your uncle. It's all there. It's all wrong. It's all there.
Shakespeare gets that all the time.
Yeah.
Hamlet gets misquoted constantly. Huh. And even in a television show, you're like, really? There's no one checking?
No fact check.
Like,
no one in the writer's room going, excuse me. Excuse me.
So I'm going to do Renewed Hope now, and there's a lot of news happening for books and comics, which is why we are theming the show around it.
Yeah.
Are we ready?
So here we are, Renewed Hope with Queen Amidala.
Thank you, Master Kenobi. Hello to the people and the council. And the first story for today is that the number one Star Wars edition that I hold in my hot little hand, the second print sells out already and will be allocated. The third print is on its way. Long story short, this is selling its tits off.
Yeah, that's an impressive run.
They've gone through two lots to the print, and they're going back for a third because everywhere is selling out.
That's incredible.
Now, your experience, you were saying, were there a lot of people at the comic book store when you were getting it?
Mine was on my pull list, so I didn't have to rush to get there right away. I was joking when I said it was there at the first in line. But
No judgment here.
But when I went there, they had enough to go around. I went in the afternoon on Wednesday. And a lot of the variants were left. I'm hoping they're still there, so I can go back and maybe make that credit purchase.
Yep.
Earth 2 comics that I go through, they were ready for the onslaught.
Yep.
So, but they were very smart because they basically turned the entire shop into a Star Wars collectible den. So you walked in and everything Star Wars, Black Series on sale, all the stuff, artwork and everything. So you could tell they knew and it did work. A lot of stuff was being taken off the shelves.
Bleeding Cool has reported in that they're saying the third print's on the way, it's going to go through more printings than Ms. Marvel episode 1.
Really?
Yeah. So it's...
Hey, the power happening. Of Star Wars.
Yeah.
We will be doing a bit of a review on the first edition as well, coming up soon in Forced On. But with more trailer news, the second Force Awakens teaser will be released with the Avengers Age of Ultron and will be focusing the original characters.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously this isn't a surprise. We're all expecting a second trailer, but it's going to be shown before Age of Ultron, which is keeping it in the Disney family.
Yep.
Nice and tight there. Someone like me who can be a little bit cynical is like, does Age of Ultron really need that boost to get all the Star Wars fans there as
That's
well?
True.
No, but it's interesting. And we're going to do a special Duel of Fates based around that trailer news here in a bit.
Yep.
But it's interesting. And a lot of the... So you're saying Bleeding Cool's reporting that one the most?
No, this one is the Latina Review.
Oh, that's right. Our friends at Latina Review, friends of Schmoes, know, running with that story. Yeah, it could be interesting.
Yes.
It makes sense. We're getting to that point.
So they said, I got off the phone last night with my source and was able to confirm that we will see a new second teaser trailer that will include all of our classic heroes attached to the Avengers Age of Ultron on May the 1st, 2015. But hey, if you're Aussie or New Zealand, we get it earlier.
It's a team.
But still not me, because I'm, even though I am Australian, I still live here and I will miss out. It's going to be on the 24th of April and in Australia and New Zealand, it's going to be on the 23rd.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But so, okay, that means, but it'll leak out, we'll see.
I was going to say, what are the odds of that?
Yeah.
Staying, you know? Not good.
Or maybe we'll just fly to Australia.
What is that? That's a week difference.
How long does it take to fly to Australia? 2 weeks?
It depends if you're taking a TIE Fighter or the Millennium Falcon.
I made the Australian run in 12 parsecs.
Under. Cool. So that one's exciting. We are going to be talking more about the trailer. And if you guys want to see the original casting on that one. And more comic book news. We have a very first look at Kanan the Last Padawan, which has been announced as the comic book series that they're going to stick with. Basically, Marvel's already looking forward to promoting this particular one. It's the fourth series that they've announced. And we have our first look at the sketches of what Star Wars Rebels character Kanan Jarrus looked like during the fall of the Republic. Mm-hmm. Now, this is when his Caleb and the Order 66 went out and everyone was getting killed, including his master. Star Wars Rebels is establishing him as this heroic yet flawed Jedi. He doubts himself, he loses his patience, he struggles with his new role as a teacher to Ezra, and obviously Order 66 is haunting him and the past that he had. So this series is going to pretty much look at him from the whole way. So Caleb Joom, that character, you're going to see these sketches that you're looking at right now is from a series that Pepe Larraz has done, exploring different outfits and facial expressions of the young Jedi, so you see what Caleb looks like, and then transforming into Kanan, which is pretty cool. This one's going to, it's slated to begin in the, sometime in April, basically, and it's going to be written by Greg Wiseman, who has been the EP for the first series of Rebels and is also known for his work on the Disney animated series Gargoyles. Do you guys remember that one?
How
good was it?
I love that show.
Yeah. So that kind of got me pretty excited as well.
Did you good?
Yeah.
Hey, we talked about Kanan. He is one of my favorite characters in the extended universe right now. The new canonized one, despite my trepidation of the series Rebels, or despite the problems I might have with New Dawn the book, he's one of the best things there. But one of the best things about New Dawn the book is that beginning.
Yes,
which is
one chapter.
The
best part.
Caleb talking to Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
And talking about how you can program that message, just get it out to the Jedi or get it back into the Jedi. And that was one of the best things.
Yeah.
Chance to read New Dawn yet?
I have not read it yet.
You
did not give it
some. Yeah, we
on
did
it.
Not. No. No.
But there is this one chapter.
Just read the first chapter. Okay. Put it down after that. No.
And it's that kind of thing where, when we did do a little bit of a review on it, it's like we wanted to see more of that. Wow. And we're getting exactly that with this series, The Last Padawan.
I'm definitely excited about that.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of Star Wars books for me to buy at this shop.
And I'm going to read out all of the ones that are coming out too soon.
I should take notes here.
And the last comic book news that we have, it's a huge rumor that's going out, and I hope that this is true. Apparently, Lando Calrissian is going to get his own comic book series for Marvel. Mm-hmm. So we know that he was just shown up in Rebels.
Yeah.
Like that has been given the all clear. We have no idea if he's going to be in The Force Awakens, but if he does get his own comic book, there's a chance that his character is like the CPR, man. This guy is going to be a big part of it still, which I think is great because his character is awesome.
Yep.
And there's still so much more to go. And I think Billy Dee would be so bang up for extending any kind of a role with
his. Oh, yeah. He's very proud of his Lando legacy, as he should be, because that, as we profile in episode 16, Lando on this show, Lando's one of my favorite characters. I mean, I believe he is tremendously important to continuing that franchise. Empire, Yoda, number one most important thing is he had to make a puppet work to Lando because he expanded the universe that George had created and did it so well. So I'd love to, as a kid, I don't know if you had a chance to do this, reading books. I'm sure. I always assume authors just read a lot as a kid.
Correct.
I used to go check out books at the library every week, and there is a Lando series. obviously non-canon, but it was like The Adventures of Lando Calrissian, and I got it, and I just was into it, and he's playing Sabacc, and he's traveling the galaxy with these alien creatures, and it was so foreign to me because I'm like, well, where's that Luke guy? He's not going to be there, but Lando has a whole world that a whole story to tell. So yeah. I'm excited that he's getting that.
Still a rumor. We don't know yet. But from Bleeding Cool, Jonathan Hickman said that he was taking a break from Marvel after the end of Secret Wars and his run on the Avengers. But there might be room for a small one here. So he could have the time to work on this. I hear that accompanying Star Wars, Darth Vader and Princess Leia, Marvel are to publish a series starring Lando Calrissian, the Turncoat from Star Wars. So I think that, but you know what? We only get a glimpse of it in Empire Strikes Back, where it's like right at the beginning, he's, you know, that joke that he pulls on Han, why, you son of a, you know? And it's, and then he ended up being, you know, friends and helping out Han like so much.
Yeah.
But the tiny little things like, oh, how is she going? My old ship.
Yeah.
And then you realize, you know, he lost it in a bet. Like things like that. And this is the guy who's supposed to be in charge of Cloud City. You're like, huh?
Yeah.
It's like the drug addict turned good again kind of thing.
Yeah, well,
the gambler.
It's a story of a guy growing up and getting a proper job a little bit. You know, that's kind of the Lando thing, too. Yeah, there's so much there with Lando. I love that. One of my favorite quotes is how you doing, Chewbacca? I'll say that to anyone, whether they're Wookiees or not. Mm. You know? I don't know. I love Lando.
Bet that goes over really well.
Yeah, yeah.
At the bar.
Why am I chewing?
Yeah, it's probably why I go home a lot. Alone a lot.
Is it because I sound like I'm drunk or because I'm incredibly hairy? Lose-lose situation.
You're making me see things clear now.
So there we go. So a lot of comic book news in there. Comment also, because we're looking at the comments right now, if you are excited to see any of these or if you're already going to put in your order for The Last Padawan. Yeah. Is that what it was called? I've already forgotten.
There's so many titles coming out. And then you got starting soon, you got a series that's just based around Darth Vader a bit. And then you got one just based around Princess Leia.
Yeah.
It's got a great looking title cover page on there. And in fact, I just remember I have a gift for you.
Ooh.
It's in my. I'm staring at it in my bag. I can't get it right now. We could stop the show. It involves that Leia cover.
Yeah!
All right, JT, open up my war bag there. Is there a pink bag in there anywhere?
It's pink.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. All right. All right.
Since you
gave me a gift on air one time, I will give you my little gift to you.
Aww. Thank you.
Yeah.
What is this?
Sorry, Maddie. Next time I'll get you a gift as well. All right. There's this collector pens from Marvel. And it's got,
that's the one.
That's
yeah,
the one.
I've seen this. We had this. I don't know if you can see. You probably can't see this at all.
Yeah.
Oh, bugger.
So wear them proudly.
Thank you. I will. I absolutely will.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the badges, and it's the Star Wars cover for the Marvel one, and it's Leia's cover as well.
Yeah. The Vader one was exclusive, and I had to make a $3 donation to some charity I have no ideas about, but I got
worth it.
Right. Absolutely.
Thank you.
So, Queen Amidala, is that your news for today?
That is.
Thank you,
Master Kenobi.
Brings to an end the close of Renewed Hope, which, oh, by the way, as we transition into Force Dawn, our look at something specific in the Star Wars universe, the opening crawl.
Oh, I haven't had a look at it yet.
Okay.
But the first thing that I did when I opened it was so good.
Maud actually cried. I'll read it. Book one, Skywalker Strikes.
Yeah.
It is a period of renewed hope for the rebellion.
Renewed hope!
You didn't know that, huh?
No, I read it as well. I didn't put it together.
People were tweeting it in that, hey.
I called it.
You did. When we were sitting down to prep this show in July of this year.
Last year,
2014, you were like, what should we call the news segment? And you were like, well, Renewed Hope. So there you go. Someone at Marvel was bugging my house and got it there. So let's start taking a look at Star Wars.
Do you think they watched the show?
No, I don't know. I can only hope. One of my favorite things to do is to see your passion explode from Star Wars.
My calling card. Hey, Maud Garrett, may have heard of me. Yeah. Made up Renewed Hope.
They
used it.
You should see when Duel of the Fates plays.
I get a bit excited.
So here we go. We all had a chance to look at and read Forcing This On You Now. Star Wars number one from Marvel, bringing Star Wars back home to Marvel. Where, of course, the original run of comics in the 70s into the early 80s was with Marvel. Did you ever read any of those old ones?
I didn't. I was an X-Men sort of girl. But, I never saw the old comics.
I didn't.
Are they worth it?
You know what? They're a little weird.
Okay.
And one of the variant covers makes fun of it because there was a character that was, I think it was a rebel, I believe it was a rebel, and he was like a fighter pilot, and he was a bunny. He just was a straight out bunny.
I've seen Star Fox 64. Peppy. Yeah. Peppy is the bunny.
So it's, yeah. Maybe it's canon, is what you're saying? So the Marvel series was a little weird. I had a lot of them as a kid, and it gave you that weird feeling where you're like, I'm not exactly sure this is Star Wars, even at 8. I was like,
okay.
But the run is impressive, and in Marvel, hey, Marvel knows what they're doing, but the license went to Dark Horse. Dark Horse did a spectacular job with that run. There's a lot to talk about in there. But Marvel,
and that was a little bit more adult skewed, wasn't it?
Most of them absolutely were. Yeah. I enjoyed the series, the Brian Wood series that was out in 2013, I believe, started. Which was the same time period as this, and all that is a race now, unfortunately, because of the canon. We kind of knew this was going to happen, Disney, Lucasfilm, Marvel, and here it is. But you got a great team behind it, and it definitely has the feel of Star Wars, and I'm not going to go through it page by page, and I don't necessarily want to spoil it.
No, but I think we can comment on, you know, the graphics, how it looks, how it reads, how it feels.
The beautiful, beautiful artwork. And Maddie, you had a chance to read it this morning, right?
I did.
Give us your initial thoughts on what you felt of just the story, the feel of Star Wars, all that stuff.
Sure. I also, too, got a little, like, you know, when you see the crawl, you're like, ah, this is so classic. We were talking earlier how some of the lines just felt like the really only cons I saw were some of it felt really like they were stretching really hard
it
to like
forced?
Remind yes it felt yes. forced just to remind us like it's Star Wars guys it's Star Wars and you're like yes we know like
right.
everything about this feels Star Wars and if you kind of keep like they do a lot of riffs on like classic lines, you know, and they kind of like do a little twist on them. It's like, do we really need that? Not really, you know. We're all fans. I feel like if you're picking this up, you know, you've seen them, like you know.
And that's a shame that it doesn't, you know, ignite this. Oh, they did that. They used that.
It feels a little like cheesy sometimes.
It never does. Yeah, the particular line they do. C-3PO says, "I have a good feeling about this."
And you're like, ooh.
And exactly, you know, I would have rather someone just said, I've got a bad feeling about this, because I know that's
going to
happen at some point. And we were discussing one of our mutually kind of disappointing moments. Now, I want to say, overall, this is a great book, and it's going to be great. We'll start with the bad work to the good. But there was a moment with Luke kind of recalling these aren't the droids you're looking for line.
Yes.
Came off a little groaning as
it
well, right?
It was a little cringeworthy.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's like, I don't know. That actually did, to me, felt out of character.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it just didn't even read like Luke to me. That's like something Han would say.
Yeah.
It was so sort of like this jokey aside to himself. I just like don't see Luke that way. You know, he's a little more serious. He's a little less like on the ball, quirky like that.
Particularly then. This time period, the after New Hope, before Empire.
He's lost
learning.
Obi-Wan.
That's what the Heir to the Jedi book is going to talk about, that whole phrase. Mm-hmm. So there was that moment. It kind of was a breaking the fourth wall moment.
Exactly. And it was like, you know, it's a pretty serious circumstance. I mean, he's, you know, freeing
slaves.
It just felt very like, what? Like, that's kind of, where did that come from?
Yeah.
But there are definitely some moments that are, like, really powerful and really well composed. Like, the art's really well composed.
Love the art on that one.
Yeah, beautiful artwork in here. And, yeah, overall, the story, it definitely has the feel of Star Wars, and it is very familiar. And to see Han, they really...
He looks good.
Yeah, your first look at that...
Leia, too, they really nailed it.
They really nailed the Lando. But what did you describe that panel?
I said he puts the smug in smuggler. Because he looks great. And he's just got that grin that only he could do.
Yeah.
I think they've really kind of immortalized Harrison Ford. Like, if I was Harrison reading that, I would be bloody smug as well.
Yeah.
Because it looks great. But Leia, the character of her, we always knew she was a strong character, but here she's like, she's clocking this general across the chin. Like, right hook, you know, and that's the kind of stuff that I love, and I'm so glad that we're seeing. And now that it's canon, she really hit that, and they can't take that back.
They can't take it back.
She hit him.
You got Chewie as a sniper in this one. I mean, there's a lot of fun things.
Not with a bowcaster?
Not really. No, I'm trying to look at the... I don't want to say yes or no specifically. No, it's not. It's a sniper rifle. And there's a great moment, and again, little spoiler here, but we were talking about it, and you brought up a great point about from a writer standpoint.
Spoiler alert.
The arms.
He's gonna be like, "What is she doing?"
Cool. I'm actually really jealous that you have that energy right now. I'm just like dragging butt right now.
There's from a writer standpoint, you brought a great point of one of the ways to use action in any kind of medium. You need to use it well. It explains the character, right?
Right. I feel like any action should like do two things, right? Like it does the physical purpose, but then it also informs the character, like the way someone rolls or dodges or blocks something. I feel like should give you an insight to them. So there's a good Vader moment.
There's a great Vader moment where he maybe uses the assistance of some stormtroopers in a way.
Misuse of company personnel. That's maybe an HR.
Yeah, it might be an Imperial HR issue, and it is really a true Vader moment, but something we haven't seen from Vader before or read from Vader before. And I thought that was one of those ooh, wow, cool moments. So that's all there. The one thing I didn't like, I worry about the last panel. Don't want to spoil it. If you've read it, you know what I'm talking about. The last panel, it sets up something that who knows what they're going to do with it next issue and beyond. But for me, it took away a little bit from Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
In terms of story.
I would agree with that.
Right? That first meeting of those two characters.
Yes.
Might not have as much weight if you were to go with this.
If you pictured it as one long
right?
I have no idea how that's happening, but
Right.
So,
it does diminish it a little bit. That's a good point.
Yeah, but I'm willing to see where they go with it, obviously. Yeah.
This is the point that I wanted to bring up. This is between two movies. This is between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back.
Yep.
There is a definitive start and a definitive end.
Yep.
How many issues can they go there? Because it's not like they've got a concept that they can do whatever they want with. It has to sit between a certain time period.
Yeah.
Don't know. And I just think, how many issues are they allocating with this?
You know what? I haven't heard that. Yeah. Well, it was like with Rebels or Clone Wars, the animated series. Yeah, they knew they had a finite number of episodes they were going to do.
Mm.
But, you know, it could be like MASH and run longer than the Korean War. Who knows? You know? there's a lot of things they can do with this. And what one of the things I want to ask you two is, where do you hope this series goes in setting up that moment from New Hope to Empire? For me, I'll give the example, as I'm really looking forward to see how they establish the base on Hoth, because the Rebel Alliance is running from the Empire.
Yeah.
There's stuff like that. Anything you'd like to see them get to?
I always feel like Luke's character is actually kind of weak in a lot of, like, I feel like a lot of his character development happens off screen. You know what I mean? And I always felt that was sort of like,
especially between Empire and Return.
Right.
Like, that's just a chunk of
like
what?
He kind of, you know, like, he comes back, like, every time he shows up in one of the movies, I feel like he's very different, you know? And he's in a totally different part of his arc. And I feel like some of the other characters, you actually see that happen. Like, you see their arc a lot more on screen. So I'd love to see his character just developed more, just as, like, a more well-rounded character. You know what I mean? Like, even just slice of life kind of
that's
stuff.
That's a great point, and we're talking about Luke moments and some of the things out of the character of Luke. I want to see there is a development from farm boy, and you're right, Empire to Jedi. I remember Mark Hamill always begged Lucas to make Luke in Jedi sleeveless, ripped with like a scar and like he and a mohawk. He like wanted that kind of stuff, and Lucas going, no, you're getting a black tunic,
and a green lightsaber.
That's as punk as we're gonna go with.
But there's a lot to process, and I know Heir of the Jedi is gonna cover a lot of that ground.
This is my point that I'm making as well. We are seeing a book series as Heir to the Jedi, which we're expected. I think it's in. I'm going to bring up my sheet.
I got a cheat sheet here too. It's coming out. March 3rd, 2015, Heir to the Jedi, Kevin Hearn is the author.
Yeah, that's less than 2 months.
Yeah.
So we've not only got the comic series, but a book that's covering the same time period. Is that overkill? Because at the same, like, we obviously, hopefully, we're going to be getting between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, which is what I'm excited about, even though Han is completely frozen in carbonite. There's this whole plan. How did they make the plan? I want it like an Ocean's 11 kind of, everyone had their roles, and how did it come about?
Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff. And then you have all of Luke's training. Is this an overkill of after the first Death Star and Battle of Yavin and then going into Empire Strikes Back?
I worry about that sometimes, just in the amount of... I go back to in 91 when Heir of the Empire came out, and Timothy Zahn's book and his first trilogy, and it was like awesome. And all of a sudden there was that explosion of the expanded universe.
Yep.
There was so much that I just shut down. Yep. And I didn't read any of it after Jedi Academy.
Well, I was the same. You'd go into it, like you said, a bookshop, and there was just 19 different ones, and I didn't know what trilogy that was from. Yep. And then there was like volume 9 of that. And I'm like, how do I start?
I was working in a bookstore for a while in the midst of some of that. And I was like, what? Yeah. Like, they've just come out all the time. And I'm like, I mean, this is great, but where do I start? Where do I, like, is any of this actually worth it? You know, because I feel like with a lot of the EU stuff, I just am like, you know, I've had a lot of friends be like, that book's not that great.
Yeah.
Like, you might not want to, you know, drop $25 on the hardcover of that, you know, so. Yeah.
But also invest into, like, what could potentially be six, you know, editions of that storyline.
Huge storyline.
So I worry about that sometimes with this, but I trust Marvel, and I love that it's all tied in, because that might cut out some of the stuff you just brought up with some of the old stuff where it's like, well, Boba Fett's alive in that one. He's a clone in this one. The Emperor's a clone in this one. Chewie died in this one. Han has kids here, but he's divorced. So, you know, this one funnels into things. It's fun to speculate. Well, if something we see in Rebels, does it factor in Episode 7? It's fun. It's fun to speculate. So I trust what Marvel's going to do. But yeah, you know, but one of the fun, you just mentioned, you know, finding about the plan for Jedi. Well, the standalone, the rumored standalone movie that's going to be how they stole the plans of the first Death Star.
Right.
That's what I'd love to see this kind of stuff explore.
Yep.
Establishing things that we know. Luke's growth, or how do the Rebels do this, and then explaining a little bit of the backstory.
I'm excited to see like a really fluent timeline for the first time as well, because the expanded universe was all over the place, and then there was double ups, and now it's just like, this is it from way to go. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, so overall, my personal take on Star Wars number one from Marvel is I give it a solid B+ for the issue itself, but the run, the book that started, I'm very excited, and we are in the era of Star Wars gluttony, which will be good, we hope. But 2015, what a giant year and a great year to be a Star Wars fan.
So I'm just going to read out a few of the titles that we can expect. We have just mentioned that Heir to the Jedi or Heir of the Jedi. Well, I can't even get Heir to the Jedi is March 3. If you are into sort of like the younger things, younger scaled books for the kids or...
I want a sticker book. Can I get that?
Well, you've got Sabine, My Rebel Sketchbook, which came out on February the 3rd.
Aww. Perfect. I'm going to go to the store.
The Secret Jedi, The Adventures of Kanan Jarrus, Rebel Leader. That's for the young reader's novel. Came out also on that day, the 3rd. And then you've got Servants of the Empire, a young reader's novel is March 3rd also. So it sounds like that's another parallel, which we were kind of discussing off camera, which is the... Sometimes with these, and you have the kids' jokes in there, it's because Star Wars is trying to appeal to a huge demographic, from 3 to 4 year olds to, you know, 80. And so, like, how do you please
and to us cynical
group?
Adults who want everything our way? But you brought up a great point. Let's bring it up now. You know, we forget that you're also trying to build the new generation of fans.
Right, yeah. I mean, well, because when I think about how young I was when I got into it, I mean, my parents wouldn't have let me watch. I mean, even some of it's a little questionable. I remember being, like, really traumatized about the Han and Carbonite thing. Like, like, processing that was, like...
The Rancor.
Yeah, because he was, like, one of my favorite characters. And now you're like, wait, he's a popsicle? Like, what? How does that, is he coming back? Like, is this permanent?
And that pained look on his face as well. Ah!
And it's like right after the kid. It's just like, it's such a traumatizing moment when you're like not old enough to really like...
To process it.
You know, and you don't understand like, well, he's probably going to be okay. He's a big character.
No,
or you don't understand that, well, Harrison Ford didn't sign for the third movie and they're not sure.
Right, exactly. But yeah, like, you know, my best friend has two little kids and they're just starting to get into Star Wars, and I have a niece and nephew who are young and they're into it, and I'm like, okay, that's right, we have to remember that.
And it's a good... I'm glad you brought it up, because it's a good reminder for a cynical old bastard like myself that sometimes can be like, what's this Ezra kid? I gotta forget, there's probably some 14-year-old boy out there who's like, yes, that's me in this universe.
Yeah, well, I'm like, I can't imagine if I was like a 10-year-old right now and I was watching that, I would be like obsessed with Sabine. Like, it's my middle name, so I would be...
Oh, really?
For the start of it, I'd be like, what? No, like, nobody has that name.
That's...
And then I would be freaking out, because she's like, you know, she's artist gold. And she's...
Right.
She's a little badass, but she's got this like...
She's got a husky
edge.
Voice.
Yeah, it's like, she's great.
I still want to know, one of the great mysteries that unanswered so thus far in Rebels is Sabine is spray painting a picture of Cad Bane, and I want to know. I want to know why.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So from a quick look at this year, there's actually going to be about 6 junior novels. So I think we do have this parallel kind of thing where you've got the adult series and then the kids series. And a lot of them are around Rebels with Ezra, Sabine, as we spoke about. And a couple of the ones that I brought up to you, which you were like, ooh, that's right. Lords of the Sith. Paul S. Kemp is writing that one. It's a hardcover novel out on the 28th of April. Long story short, we're going to see a lot of books this year.
We're
going to
be doing a lot of reading,
which is
reviewing all this.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the same thing that we're talking about, where it's just they're coming at you this whole time. Like already, we've had 2 released: Tarkin.
A New Door. Tarkin.
I wish it was A New Door. Yeah. That would be more interesting than what the book was.
Hey, all right. then I just fit it, you know, the how Star Wars Conquered the Universe. There's so much. And then I'm just now hitting the Game of Thrones season, which means I need to reread and study Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire before that. So I'm like, I don't have time to do all this.
That's the thing. And that's, hey, try being a gamer.
Yeah, add that in the mix.
That's like watching a movie.
Yeah.
I was telling this to Alicia all the time. It's like, you know, you watch a movie. That's great. That's maybe 2.5 hours. You play a game. I've just hit 100 hours on Dragon Age. You've played five times through.
No, like 3.5.
Still. Yeah. Like,
but not completion. I'm not, please don't think I put 200 hours into each of those roles.
Not yet.
Like, I've showered since the game came out. I've had things to do.
You function normally.
I have left the house once or twice.
But this is it's the kind of thing where it's like, I just think that everyone's going, more is more.
Yeah.
We're going to make money, just churn it out.
It is a little grabby.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I feel like the movies are a big deal. Like, and that's great.
Yeah.
Do we need, like, you know.
That was B+.
Yeah.
That wasn't an A+.
Right. No, I know I have a reputation of being a little nitpicky, Rebels, this and that, but cool. I'm here. I'm ready for what's coming. But that itself, one of the reasons I'm probably not going to buy those variant covers is, like you said to me at lunch, like, well, then you'd have 40 of the same issue that you kind of felt like this about. But again, do I love that that's in existence? Absolutely. But then I worry about things getting watered down each thing.
As if, if it's quantity over quality, that's when I have a problem. If you have great movies, and I have this conversation with the Marvel and DC lineup where it's just like, more movies. And it's like, if they're great, fine.
Yeah.
But if you're putting out B or C grade movies just for the sake of it because you know everyone's going to be there, that's kind of like, you know, there's a trust that you have with your fans.
Yeah.
And it's not like, well, we're doing it and we don't care if it's good or bad because you'll watch it anyway. That's so disrespectful.
Yeah.
I agree.
But we will watch it anyway.
That's the problem.
Let's move quickly into our Duel of the Fates segment, which is...
What a reaction. It was giggle snort.
She'll start crying in a second. Just
Such
hold on.
Such a good song.
Right when it hits the corner. Thank you, JT. That's awesome. Duel of the Fates is our weekly segment where you take 2 things from the Star Wars universe and pit it against each other and have a debate here. We'll put it on our Facebook page, which is Jedi Alliance on the Schmoes Know Network on Facebook. Also on Twitter, at Jedi Alliance SK, hashtag Jedi Alliance. And today we're going a little bit of a different take on Duel of Fates.
Yes.
We mentioned
we have to do last week's first.
Oh, yeah. Do that. Yeah, it's
and
been
Madeline,
a while.
Because you are our guest, we're going to put it to you as well to see if it's as big a landslide as we think it is. Last week, we asked you, what was the bigger reveal of the prequels? There were 2 things that was like, drop mic, what? Was it midichlorians, the fact that the Force wasn't this mystical facet, it was actually something that you could explain and it had a name.
Okay.
But apparently midichlorians isn't the Force, midichlorians... Transport the Force.
It was Lucas putting some science behind it.
Yes. Okay. Or was it the fact that at the end of Revenge of the Sith, R2-D2's memory wasn't wiped? So in the original trilogy, he knew everything all along, including Luke's father and who Yoda was, et cetera. He knew everything.
So.
Which was the bigger reveal?
God. I feel like there's a right answer. Like
there is.
Is there? I feel like the more interesting reveal is actually R2.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the midichlorians thing, you're like, okay, that kind of sucks. But like, you know, but like really does it change any? I mean, I guess it does. It changes things, but I feel like it's in the moment, you're like, whoa, that's big. But I think the R2 thing is actually, has like longer term.
Yeah.
That was the, that one
residence.
Of them was like and then the R2 one was like, oh.
Yeah, the R2 one, you're like, what? Yeah.
And to be fair, that was kind of a... tongue-in-cheek, one-sided Duel of the Fates, we're setting it up. But, hey, who knows? Maybe learning the Force was these little thingies.
The little thingamabobbers. But it sounds like you could breed in a, what is it, a Bunsen burner yeah. or something.
His Marie Chloe readings are off the charts.
So the results for this one was R2-D2 was 80% and yeah. the chlorines yeah. were 20%.
Some of the 20%. Yeah.
That's not bad. There were yeah. some people that really fought for it. And let's chat about those.
Yeah.
Those that actually, we had Key Belling said definitely midichlorians. People, myself included, often get confused about what they actually are. They're not the force or a way of explaining it to make it logical, rather than a microscopic life form in your body that allows you to communicate with the force. So the more you have, the better you are in touch with the force. That isn't to say that just because you have more midichlorians, you're a better Jedi, but the potential connectedness with the force is greater.
Okay.
I was like, thank you for explaining.
That's very well explained.
Very clear. Yeah.
Kai. Dan Hovey says, I actually like midichlorians. It quantifies why some Jedis may be more powerful than others. How else would Anakin have been the one?
True.
But then you've got R2-D2 diehards saying, easy, says Nick Widener.
Nick Widener, yeah.
Yep. Easy, it's R2-D2. He never has memory wiped. Every time I hear the word midichlorians, I cry a little. Nick Bascom said, R2, hands down. I like the character, but it was kind of a dick move on his part. He couldn't have just pulled Luke aside one day and translated, that Vader dude, he's your dad. All joking aside, though, it's interesting to have a character with that long of a lifespan in the series.
Yeah. That's a true point, but that also kind of, to me, fits in R2's character a little bit. He was kind of a wise ass.
The Sastromech.
Beautiful.
I can't take credit for that. Okay. A friend of mine, Matt Pettengill, came up with that, and I just remember the moment we, like, it clicked that he said it, and I was like,
yes!
Like, perfect.
Sastromech.
Genius.
That's awesome. Amazing.
Good job, Matt.
There is a little conspiracy, though, that Cameron Kramer has said. Look, yes, R2, by a long shot. I believe that Sidious made good on his promise at the end of Plagueis. Spoiler. Mm-hmm. And gave 11-4D a new life as R2.
Wow. Wow, the droid 11-4D, which is now canon because it's in Tarkin.
That actually R2, the Astromech?
Is that the original? That's an interesting
Because it's just
theory.
A reprogramming and a paint job.
We do love our conspiracy theories here.
Certainly do. So there you go. That was last week's Jewel of Fates.
That was last week's.
We've got one for this week.
This week's is, you mentioned, the new Episode 7 trailer is set to come soon, we think, according to rumors.
May or end of April if you're on the...
And the thought is that the original characters would make an appearance. They, of course, did not make an appearance in the first teaser trailer for The Force Awakens, focused on the new blood, which we kind of agreed was the right choice to make at the time. So my Duel of Fates question of the week is, do you want to see the old characters in the next trailer to be released? Yes or no? Some reasons why. We'll start on the panel. Maddie?
I feel like a total, like, get off my lawn grandpa saying this, but I kind of want, like, less. Like, I don't want to know everything about the movie. I want to go in surprised. Like, I feel like I have no impulse control. So, like, I was like, this time with something coming out, I'm not going to look up all the stuff. I'm not going to read all the articles. I'm not going to watch all the trailers. I tried to do that with Dragon Age Inquisition, and I couldn't. I was like, I knew so much about it before it even came out. Mm. And I'm like, why do I do this to myself? I wish I had, like, allowed myself to be surprised and kind of get, like,
because we're fanboy and fangirls. Right. We have to consume everything. It's like we read into the tiniest little things.
Exactly.
Because we want to claim it first.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like, don't give me any more trailers. I know that that's unreasonable and it will never happen.
So
but
that's a no from you.
Yeah. Okay. I kind of would rather, like, sit down in the theater day of and be like, whoa.
An experience for the first time without having your own premeditated conclusions.
Right, or just, like, you're kind of used to it. You're kind of like, okay, they're going to look like that. That's what they look like. Yeah. That's the costuming. Like, I'd much rather just sort of go in totally blind.
You know you're going to be breaking your back trying to dodge everything.
No, I mean, I'm not going to do it, but I just wish
you could.
There's no way to do it because they would never go down that track. Obviously, they want to, like, create hype, and I understand it all makes sense from a marketing standpoint. But I'm sure it'll be great. But I would be fine with no more trailers.
And no more old, at the very least, no more old characters.
Well, I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Because we've had the first teaser trailer and we saw John Boyega as a stormtrooper. We saw Daisy Ridley on Tatooine. We've established it. My theory is that this movie is the passing of the baton.
Sure.
Yeah. It is, we've shared this movie, like, their history, how Vader became who he was. And now we need to know, the next side of things. So it's like, our adventures, and then this is happening. go. It's your turn to have this adventure.
It kind of legitimizes, you know, it feels like a closed circuit.
Yeah.
Rather than just like, oh, here's a bunch of new characters and we'll just mention these people but never see them.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm in this particular trailer, do I want to see them? A little bit, yes.
Yeah.
Just to get me excited and just to see if I still see Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford as their characters.
Yeah.
Because we've just spent 25 years seeing them as everyone else.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe not Carrie Fisher so much because she didn't
do a lot, but much. Well,
but Harrison Ford,
when
you
Harry
know?
Met Sally and Drop Dead Fred, you know. So you're going yes-ish?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're going no?
I'm ready to see them.
I'm going no-ish.
Okay.
I kind of like you, Maddie. I would kind of not like to see a bunch of stuff. I don't want a full-length trailer, but I know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to watch.
Yep.
Like you, though, I want to see, does this still work?
Yeah.
My fear is, though, it might not. I think it will. Overall, I think Abrams wouldn't have done this and wouldn't have, you know, I think it will work. But I would hate for this trailer to hit. And for all of us to go, oh.
Oh, no.
Okay. All right. Han's got gray hair. Oh, that's weird.
Hamill actually looks like Sidious.
Yeah, you know, like, I would kind of hate that. So I would like to say, hey, keep it until the theater. Give me some more Boyega. Give me some more Daisy Ridley.
Okay.
Max von Sydow. Maybe a glimpse of what Circus is playing.
Gwendolyn Christie.
Lupita Nyong'o. There's a lot more left to show us before you get to the old cats.
But do we want to see who every single character is?
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Again, less is more for my taste, but maybe.
How much have we read into it? And we've just literally had snapshots. Boom.
I agree.
You know,
but that's kind of part of why I don't like it. It's like all that like theorizing and all the like thinking. Like I just could not handle the lightsaber debate. Like I was just like, really? Like
we worried about that? Yeah.
Like that's like you know that there's like people walking around, they're like space teddy bears, and they're like really cute. But like this is like you have a problem with that?
And I wonder
if it's so unreasonable. And it just like and I just that like cacophony of like. I hate it.
And then it became part of the national conversation was the broadsword lightsaber. Yeah. I agree with that. You have to wonder if in 83 all this had been available, if the first glimpse of Luke's green lightsaber would have ignited the conversation. Yeah. So again, I'm going no-ish because I wouldn't mind if they didn't show us anything, but I know they are, so maybe I'm hoping that it's new characters, more Boyega, more Ridley, and maybe the last shot is Luke in a beard.
A great little... I want them to use it effectively.
Yeah.
That's a good way to phrase it.
I like effective teaser trailers, not like, here's the whole movie.
Yeah. A lot of stuff with Man of Steel. You could almost see the whole movie with all the trailers that they released.
The Jupiter Ascending trailer. Like, I just saw that, and I was like... the trailer for the first time, and I was like, I just saw the whole movie. You just showed me all of the good parts.
Yeah.
You just showed me the whole plot.
I agree with that. So that's our answers here, but we're going to put it to you out on the Facebook page. Later tonight it'll be up for your debate. Is do you want to see the old characters, yes or no, in any trailers coming out before Episode 7 and focusing on the rumored release of the next trailer coming out just soon here in May in front of Age of Ultron. That is Duel of Fates for the week. So let's go a little bit of an open forum discussion, don't you think?
Well, yeah, Maddie, we have hardly spoken about the fact that you are an author and you have written a book called Asylum, and I'm kind of keen to hear a little bit more about that. But we've also got a lot of, people keen to know if writing is everything is cracked up to be. So we'll start off with Asylum.
How much time do you have? So Asylum came out about 2 years ago. It's the first in a trilogy, and it's for young adults, so aimed at like 14 to 19, but obviously a lot of adults read it. And it's the main character's name is Dan Crawford, and he's kind of a he's not like I always struggle like talking about him because like he is kind of awkward and he is but I didn't want to make him sort of the usual like oh I'm the awkward like.
Down and out orphan
right
living under the stairs.
He is adopted, but that actually is not what it seems, because I also hate that, like, how do you, this is a conversation I have a lot with other young adult authors, is like, how do you create a world with no grown-ups? Like, that's why, like, they're always set at schools, they're always set at academies, or like a post-apocalyptic situation is great, because you're like, that whole generation's just gone.
Yeah.
But there's a reason, like, there's so many themes that come back again and again and again in young adult. It's because you're like, well, how do you, like, you Makes do sense. Interact with a lot of adults even when you're a teenager, so you have to find a way to sort of, like, it has to feel reasonable that there isn't a lot of adult supervision. But anyway, he also struggles with some mental health issues. He has, like, dissociative disorder, and so he has never really found his, like, niche, and he gets to go to a, like, gifted and talented program at a college. And finally sort of makes some cool friends there. Actually, Jordan is, like, he ends up making a friend with this kid named Jordan, and he's, like, basically me, but, like, I mean, like, my point of view.
Me with a D.
Yeah.
Me, yeah, it's probably, like, the closest point of view of mine in the book, because, like, I think he drops, like, 3 Star Wars references in the third
nice.
Book.
Hey!
I just finished it, and I was like, yep. That's 3. Like, hopefully they don't catch those. They don't take them out because I want them in there. But yeah, so, you know, he's kind of a Dungeons and Dragons nerdy type. But
nice.
Yeah, but anyway, he Dan finds out he has sort of this like family link to the college through a dorm that's been renovated, but it was formerly an asylum.
Oh wow! Ooh.
So it's kind of a spooky, creepy. There's like a found image component that goes with it.
So kind of a read during the daytime type of book.
It is.
Yes,
or I get a lot nighttime. Of frantic nighttime tweets. Like, gotta put it down.
And this has made you. You're a New York Times bestselling author. Let's say what it
I
is.
Am,
you
yeah.
are. That's something very
surreal.
Very good.
Still doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Anytime someone's out, I'm like, what? Okay, great.
I am.
Great. Me. All right.
It begs the question. We're gonna have to ask. So, given the chance to write a Star Wars book, I'm sure you'd say yes, I think, right?
But I would say yes, even if it would be kind of tough. Like I was telling you guys earlier, if you do a work, it's like on spec is what you call it. Like, and you basically are handed a very detailed outline, almost like page by page in some cases, not always. And, you know, you're under a very tight leash and you can't take a lot of creative license and... I don't know how I would do with that. I mean, I feel like if you had, like, if it was that tight of a hole, because, I mean, you always have things where your editor's like, I don't know if this is appropriate, you know, like,
sure.
I basically turn in a draft and then, God bless him, Andrew, goes through and takes out, like, all the F words. Like, that. Like, I mean, he does a lot more than that, but that's, like, probably pass one. He's just like, okay, let's run this,
take
run the word
out.
Search on this document, see how many she hit this time. I think I get, like, a quota. I don't know how many it is. But, yeah, so it would be tough.
Be tough, but...
I'd still do it.
With Lucasfilm like, looking over you or Disney looking over you, and that's sometimes we were talking about New Dawn. As much as I maybe don't like the book, I would never criticize that author because I know
his hands were tied.
He had to hit some points.
Yeah.
And a lot of points.
Right. And that's weird, too, because, like, you're going to get blamed. You know what I mean? Like, if it's a crappy outline and you're like, oh, God.
And it shows up
on your desk, you're like, well...
I
gotta
do it.
So that would be tough to feel like the reception is also out of your hands. Like, you know, you're responsible, but not really.
But you're also responsible for canon. So, whatever you write, it's
But the thing
legit.
Is, like, you're not going to get to make any of the big, exciting choices about that.
So
that,
if
that's
you
my,
could.
That's my problem, you know.
The question we asked out of all the aspects of Star Wars, maybe it's kind of covered in an expanded universe or whatever it is, and there's something that you've latched onto. What part of Star Wars would you want to write a series on or a book about, and then you get to make the choices?
Yeah.
I really love the Old Republic era. I'm a huge KOTOR nerd. Like, I love that game to pieces. I would love to write something set around there, although I really...
Like Malak and Revan kind of thing?
Yeah, or possibly, like, slightly after, because there was a lot of rebuilding going on with the Jedi Order that kind of, like, hit the reset button in a lot of senses. But I would really love to write, like... I know, this is so stupid. No one would want to read this. But I would love to write about, like, a dark side character who's just not, like... Mwahaha caricature of evil, you know, who start sort of like flirting with the line. I mean, you know, like, yes, they can't technically be a Jedi. Like, they're not gonna live that life. Mm-hmm. But there are aspects of them that they
they're
have
just
like
an
in
asshole.
Conflict. But like, you know, like questioning, like, well, I kind of have to, like, I fit in this camp, but I can't sit at this lunch table, and I have to sit over here, but I really have, like, questions, you know? Yeah. Like, I really don't know if this is okay,
like a Sith,
you know?
Sith becoming good. Well, it's like if you
like a Sith librarian. Like, that's what that's the book I would write. I you know, but, like, there's gotta be people in the infrastructure
yeah.
who are, like, not these, like, just villain, you know, shooting Darth lightning characters, bolts, right.
Because
you
notice, like, in the training facility on Knights of the Old Republic, and it was all about, you know, backstabbing and killing people yeah. and doing whatever it costs. But you're right. Someone could just be there going, I just want a little bit more power.
Like, who's the C student at the Sith Academy? Like, I want to write that book. You know, like, they kind of just, like they're kind of like,
they can just zap a little bit.
They, like, slide by. Like, maybe they're really clever, so they outsmart people. They don't necessarily, like, stab them or, you know, engineer their downfall. Because there are a few characters like that in the MMO. That was actually, like, kind of why I liked a lot of it. Was that there were some dark side characters who were like, you know, you're kind of a dick, but, like, you also have some good points. Like, I'd subscribe to your newsletter, but I wouldn't want to, like, be your best friend. You know, like, I don't know. So there were so I like stories like that.
So if all the free reign, that's where you'd concentrate on.
Yeah, I'd like, be the Sith librarian.
The Sith librarian.
The C student Sith. That has great alliteration. That would be the title.
C student Sith.
A lot of people are asking.
And they're like, don't ever let this woman. Right? Like, there's going to be, like, angry letters going to.
Can you just call her Cecile, the C student Sith?
Yes, we can.
A lot of people writing in about to ask Madeline about advice for aspiring authors, and your advice is pretty quick, right?
Oh, no. Well, I was saying, if you feel compelled to read comment sections, don't. This is not a good job for you. I have, like, a strict, I just don't read reviews anymore. Because, like I was saying, you'll get Amazon reviews. It's like, 1 star, the shipping was slow. And you're like, well.
Exactly how I wrote it.
Right. I wish I could have run it quicker to your door. But, no, I mean, it's tough. It's very competitive. I've published adult books first, and then I went into young adult. And the young adult community of fellow authors is really supportive and really cool. I have yet to, like, go on tour and be like, oh, I'm stuck with this a-hole. You know, like, everybody's really cool, really nice. I kind of got started in a weird way. I was publishing, I just finished a historical romance novel. It wasn't really a romance novel. It was a historical novel. And, I was trying to, like, query it and, like, get an agent. I was like, yeah, like, I'm going to do it, like, the traditional way. Let's go. And in hindsight, it's a terrible book. But I was excited. I'd finished my first one. But I was also very sick of researching constantly. Yeah. Like, did they have that fabric?
Did they wear that?
Like, you know, and being really religious about it. So as a joke, I started writing this online blog that was, like, set during the zombie apocalypse, but was, like, in character. So, like, she was posting, like, it was happening, and it would be, like, kind of a chapter, post kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I would, like, interact with people in the comment section. Like, people started, like, creating their own little, like, storylines that were happening. So I'd, like, talk to them, and I was, like, always in character. Like, if I got emails from people, I would, like, I had, like, an email account and everything. Right. And it got posted a few places. It actually got posted on Reddit. And, But weirdly, all the comments were nice. Like, I don't know how that happened. This was years ago. That's probably why. And my now agent's brother saw it and went and was reading it and was like, Kate, you should check this out. I think she's got something. So my agent got in touch in character.
Really?
She was awesome. In the comment section. She was like, Allison, I really, really, really need to speak to you. Could you email me or call me? Like, you know, like, it was, like, very urgent. I was like, oh, that's weird. Nobody's ever said that before.
In character agent.
So I emailed her being like, yes, this is Allison Hewitt. How about, like, are you okay? And she was like, yeah, I'm an agent. Adult conversation.
And, you're like,
and I was like, whoa, screaming in my apartment.
But what I get from that to aspiring authors out there, you have to write.
Yeah.
You have to do it a lot.
If it's scary, I always tell people, like, if you can write one book, you can write, like, 1,600 books. Like, you have to remember, like, you know, what I see happen a lot is, like, someone, like, sells a book, and they spent, like, 7 years writing it, right? And then they're like, this is great. We need the sequel in 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, they fall to pieces because it's like, oh, I'm not used to just, like,
churning out.
Yeah. Yeah. So my advice is just to, like, produce as much as you possibly can. Always be working on something.
Right.
If it's not working, just get rid of it. You know, like, don't be sentimental about it. Don't be precious about it. You know,
yeah.
care about it, but be prepared to be like, well, let's maybe not going anywhere, or maybe not what the market wants, or so.
Keep writing and edit.
Yes.
Keep writing and edit.
Don't read the comments.
Don't read the comments. No matter what
ever,
you hear.
Ever.
So I'm looking forward to your Sith Librarian series. I'm going to try to get it pushed out there.
I should write like a sample chapter for you guys.
That'd be awesome.
We do like a
totally
script reading session.
Totally.
And Cecile's got a list,
Cecile, the Sith Librarian.
Cecile's got a list.
Maybe she has like a gap in her teeth or something. I don't want her to be too much of a goober. I think she got, because she'd get targeted. She has to She has to blend in. Cecile.
Oh, that's awesome.
I kind
awesome.
Of already like really love her.
See, you're creating it right now. It's going to happen.
So someone did ask if Star Wars does influence you when writing, and I guess we've just got our answer. That's
it
a hell
does.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's some of the best examples of like Western storytelling. Mm-hmm. Like the original trilogy is the structure is really, really solid, and you know, the setting up jokes, rivalries. I think it actually does give a lot of great like textbook stuff that writers should do. I mean, like the act structure is really solid in all of them. Sounds kind of technical, but it's like you kind of soak that stuff in, even if you don't know it.
I think it was Joseph Campbell that actually told Lucas, "You're the one who got it right. Like the best student I ever had, even though he never, the hero's journey, even though he wasn't actually his direct student." So. Any other questions there in closing?
There's quite a few. Some of them are quite specific just to being an author, other than wanting to talk about specifics within comics and what you would kind of, what story arc you would want to explore more within a comic. So I was going to say...
I've never written a comic. I've always wanted to, but I feel like that kind of, like you need an artist, right? I mean, because I can do like a stick figure, but like you need I feel like you need a, you know, you have to have a sort of partner set up for that. I think it's very hard. You just have these tiny little snippets, you know, and I feel like I'm really bad at that. I'm kind of long-winded sometimes. I think it would be a good challenge. I think it would teach me a lot to sort of communicate more with less.
Yeah.
So there's no librarian series in the comics forthcoming?
I could see her.
I'm hoping for this character to take life somewhere.
But you do have a Facebook page. People can search you.
Yeah.
Madeline Rowe. And that is Rowe? Rowe?
Rue. Like
Rue.
Rue.
My French is terrible.
It's okay. Everybody.
Even though my name's a French name, Maud. But it's Maud. Ah, that's another story altogether. But if you want to jump onto your Facebook page, people can like you and ask you there as well, and you can come
and
on to comments.
Twitter, too, is great. I usually respond. So.
You're under there as Author Rue, right?
Author Rue, yeah,
one word. One R shared between that. Thank you so much for coming on and talking Star Wars with us.
It's my pleasure.
Absolutely. I know you're a fan, and maybe one day you'll get that date with the Inquisitor, right?
Maybe one day. Okay. Fingers crossed. That would be awesome.
That's another story altogether, which needs whiskey.
Bag of cats, yeah.
Thanks so much for watching Jedi Alliance. If you are on iTunes, don't forget to rate, review, put some good words in there, and give us a 5-star if you think we're worth it. I actually read them again recently, and they were so beautiful.
Yeah, we appreciate the comments.
So cool.
Quick note, too. I normally wear a Star Wars shirt. I wore this. This is my Allison Song T-shirt. It's a charity I'm involved in, and it's a very good cause. It gives the gift of music and music therapy to sick children battling very, very serious diseases. Go to AllisonSong.org for more. But I just got the shirt, and I want to show off and share the cause with you guys there, and also become a bone marrow donor. The whole story is on that website, why I'm wearing the shirt. So next week we will be back talking a little bit about lightsabers.
Yes, the evolution of the lightsaber is something that I'm really interested in at the moment, and I want to talk more about it. Yes, including the saber sword.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And returning to join us in that conversation is the future, Frankie Kazarian, Ring of Honor wrestler, will be returning back to the show. Maybe he'll bring his son Rebel with him, or I don't know. Maybe. I'll try to see if he can do that. So that's going to be fun next week, live 2 p.m. PST here on the Popcorn Talk Network. Go to youtube.com/popcorntalk for more. You can watch all the show's profiles, Guilty Movie Pleasures, Box Office Breakdown with our very own JTE in the engineer booth, Meet the Movie Press, Marvel Movie News with Matt Key, Meredith Placco, Matt Cook, and DC Movie News, and of course the Schmoes No Main Show live every Thursday, 6 p.m. PST, right here from this studio. Again, please go to iTunes, because we're having a lot of fun reading those comments and growing and getting bigger.
And we want to get higher up on the list. That would be kind of cool. We're at 33. We can do better than that, I feel, as a team. The council says so. We're also on Facebook, Jedi Alliance, and we're on Twitter at Jedi Alliance SK. So follow that. Join in the discussions there and join us on Instagram too, because we'll take some snappies. Woo!
Absolutely. This has been Jedi Alliance on the Popcorn Talk Network. We talk movies.
And many Bothans died to bring us this information.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.